Thank you, lady, for that special. A good song, Teach Me Thy Ways, oh Lord. What a good heart attitude for each one of us to have in this week that we have together, that, Lord, while we open your word, would you teach us your ways? I particularly like that last hymn that we sung for the congregation, I'd Rather Have Jesus. Probably one of my top five favorite songs, I'd Rather Have Jesus, than basically anything the world offers today. You know, guys, that really ought to be our heart set, that really ought to be our mindset, is Jesus should be of most importance to us. Because it is Jesus that will get us through. It is Jesus that will help us through our life as we face each and every situation. Well, so good to be here tonight. Are you all here tonight?
Yes.
Amen.
About 7% are here today. Are you all here tonight?
Yes.
We got about 11%. We'll try again. Are you all here tonight?
Yes.
We'll settle for 7%. We'll call that good right now. But it's good to be with you guys. Good to see you here tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and chapter 23 this evening. 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and chapter 23. In the evening times, we are going to be taking the time to be looking at two individuals. The one that we haven't yet started looking at, we'll begin looking at tomorrow night by the name of Ezra. And the other one, which we're going to be finishing off tonight, we've looked at Monday night and Tuesday night. And now tonight was a man by the name of Jehoiada. Yeah, Jehoiada lived during the time of the divided nations of the kingdom of Israel. He lived in the southern kingdom known as the kingdom of Judah. And there's something that set Judah, the southern kingdom, apart from the northern kingdom of Israel, and that is this. While the north never saw a godly king, they all followed after the pathway of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. The southern kingdom of Judah had good kings and bad kings, godly kings and evil kings. Jehoiada was one who really had lived through the time of Asa, had lived through the time of Jehoshaphat, and I bring up those two names because those two men, for the most part, were godly men, all right? They were godly men, and they were serving the Lord. Yes, there was stuff in their life that either they didn't finish well or they had compromise in their life, because Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, was a very wicked king, being married to Queen Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And so after Jehoshaphat's death, the nation of Judah goes, if you will, into about 9 years of spiritual darkness. With Athaliah's reign, it's a total of 15 years of spiritual darkness. But when Athaliah came to the throne, her son Ahaziah has died after 1 year. He's been killed. He's been murdered. And he actually had the judgment of God upon the seed of Ahab. And Athaliah comes to the throne, and she does what? She goes ahead and tries to wipe out the whole seed royal of the line of David, because she doesn't want any of them to be able to sit upon the throne of Judah. She is going to take the nation of Judah into godlessness. We saw on Monday night that there are a couple strongholds that we had to look at. We looked at really the overarching theme for our evening messages is that of stronghold razors. And when we talk about razors, we're talking about building something up, correct? Oh, okay, you guys are listening. That's good. We're talking about tearing something down. We're talking about destroying something. That is the idea of this word raze. It's spelled R-A-Z-E, and that is to tear down and to destroy. Now, why do we as Christians need to be stronghold razors in our land today? Because the devil, Satan, has these strongholds in our land that he is utilizing to blind people from what? To blind people from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we saw Monday night that there is a stronghold of Satanism that needs to be torn down, that needs to be destroyed. And it takes the faith of Jehoiada to take on this stronghold. We talked about how we need the faith of Jehoiada, faith to break the odds. But last night, we talked about a stronghold of secular humanism. A stronghold of secular humanism. And what is it that we need to take on the stronghold of secular humanism? Does anybody remember that character quality that we ought to have in our life? Right here. Courage. That is absolutely 100% correct. Jehoiada had a courage to break the mold. Even though he was priest, even though he was the one who would offer the sacrifices to God and remind his people that we're sinners in front of a holy God and we need a Savior, and one day that Messiah is coming who's going to pay the price of all mankind's sin, he recognized that when his nation was basically going down the pathway to hell, he rather just didn't sit there and do his priestly duties. He stepped over into the realm of government, and he helped out with saving little baby Joash, hiding him for 6 years, and then going about to lead a successful coup against Queen Athaliah to bring the nation of Judah back to God. You say, why is this important for us today? Because, my friends, we as Christians need a courage to break the mold. The world may scream at us, the society may scream at us, culture may tell us that you can't have your faith in Jesus Christ out in the public sphere, out in the political sphere. You can't share your faith with Jesus Christ. You've got to be silent. My friends, our world needs Jesus Christ more than ever.
Yep.
And we need to have courage. It's hard to have courage, mind you. I get that. I don't blame you. When your friends are doing wrong, it's hard to have the courage to say, hey, I'm not going to do that. Hey, we ought not to be doing that. Proverbs 1:10, my son of sinners, entice thee, consent thou not. There needs to be a courage in our hearts to say, I'm not going to do this. And as we're faithful to God in the areas in which come our way in life, the little things, if you will, God will help us to be faithful to him in the larger areas. So, Jehoiada showed that we need a faith to break the odds, to take on the strongholds of Satanism. We need a courage to break the mold, to take on the stronghold of humanism. But tonight we want to look at having the vision of Jehoiada, that God would raise up a generation of young people that would have the vision of Jehoiada to break the stronghold. The vision of Jehoiada to break the stronghold. I'll mention the stronghold in particular that we're looking at tonight, and then we'll go into it a little bit more after we read the passage and have a word of prayer. But the stronghold that we need to have a vision against is the stronghold of communism. The stronghold of communism. Now, there are some similarities between what we are up against today and what Jehoiada was up against with Queen Athaliah. He wanted to bring the nation of Judah back to God. There were false idols, there were the prophets of Baal, there were the idols of worshiping the worship of Baal that was going on in the land of Judah. But Jehoiada recognized that even though this was wrong, even though this was bad, there was something, there was more of an elephant in the room, if you will, that needed to be dealt with. And that was the one who sat upon the throne here in Judah's instance, Queen Athaliah, because she was the one spearheading all this. She was the one bringing all of this false idol worship to the land of Judah. And Jehoiada recognized she needs to go. There's a lot of stuff that's going on in our land today, a lot of wickedness, a lot of idolatry, a lot of sinfulness, even in amongst Christians as they would go their own selfish ways, as we'd each have idols in our own life. But there is even against that, there is even the world as they would go their own ways, as they would follow their own pleasures. There is a really at the root of that, a driving philosophy that seeks to push to the world that there is no God, that there is no right or wrong, that you will not be held accountable by God one day, that you are free to be who you want to be. And Jehoiada wanted to break this stronghold, but it took a vision of Jehoiada. Verse 11, chapter 22. Actually, verse 10, but when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. And he was with them hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. And in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds, and he's going to take them into covenant with him. But I want us to stop here for 1 second. But when everything seemed bad, when everything seemed to be going to hell, when everything seemed to be curtains, when there seemed to be no hope, Jehoiada made a decision. He made a decision, my friends, to take he and his wife to hide baby Joash and keep him hid in the house of the Lord. This would have been a time, mind you, that we could have said, I give up. I'm just gonna, I give up, I can't do it any longer. Evil has triumphed in the land, we're done with. But here's a man, 6 years before he actually did what he did in throwing off Athaliah, here is a man that did a small action in saving a baby, rescuing a little baby and hiding that baby. How could he do that unless he had a vision, a purpose by God to do what he was going to do? How could he do that? Frankly, foundationally, because he had a faith that was rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're not going to have a vision for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to have a clear pathway of what needs to be done unless you have a faith rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Even so, unless you have a courage that is rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because now you have this idea, now you have this vision of what needs to be done, and here's what I need to do now in order to get that done. Let's translate it for each one of us right here today. You men and women, young men and young women, may be considering, what does God want me to do with my life? What does God want me to do with my life? Lord, help me to know what you want me to do with my life, where you want me to go, what you want me to be. It starts right now, my friends. It starts with having this vision that God has given us. The Bible says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Having a vision that's rooted in the Word of God and saying, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to what you have for me right now. Look it down at verse number 11. Then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, God save the king. Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people into the house of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar after entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with the trumpets, also the singers with instruments of music, and such as taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, treason, treason. She's uncovered what Jehoiada is doing against her wicked reign. Then Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds that were set over the host and said unto them, have her forth of the ranges, and whoso followeth her, let him be slain with the sword, for the priests have slain her not in the house of the Lord. So they laid hands on her, and when she was come to the entering of a horse gate by the king's house, they slew her there. Verse 16, Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the kings that they should be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down and break his altars and his images in pieces and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Also Jehoiada appointed the officers of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests of the Levites whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord as it is written in the law of Moses with rejoicing and with singing as it was ordained by David. And he set the porters at the gates of the house of the Lord that none which was unclean in any thing should enter in. And he took the captains of hundreds and the nobles and the governors of the people and all the people of the land and brought down the king from the house of the Lord. And they came to the high gate of the king's house and set the king upon the throne of the kingdom. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after that they had slain Athaliah with the sword. When the wicked perish, the proverb says, there is great rejoicing. There is great rejoicing. We want to consider the vision of Jehoiada to break down the strongholds. Lord, would you give us open hearts to hear what you'd have for us tonight, Lord? Lord, would you help my mind to properly communicate the things that you'd want for me to say? Help me to say, Lord, nothing more or nothing less than that you'd want me to say, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would allow your word to change us as only you can change us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So the request today, really the plea today is, Lord, would you give us a generation of Jehoiadas? Would you give us a generation with the vision of Jehoiada to break down the strongholds? What I need to be doing now for God to be able to use me later. Sometimes you want to know, God, what are you going to do with me in my life? And God says, hey, look, right now I want you just to be obedient to me. I want you to be obedient in this first step. And the need for Jehoiada in that day was to take down that stronghold in the land. Athaliah was that wicked, evil queen who was plunging the nation of Judah down into godlessness. To Athaliah, there was no ultimate creator God. To Athaliah, she was the one who would make the rules. She was the one who would call the shots. She was the one who would introduce this false idol worship. And why I say that is because the similarity drawn there from what she had to what goes on even in our land today, and is threatening to come down in our land today, this idea of communism, which at its base tells us that there is no God, rather that the government is God, and that the government, that mankind says what is good and what is evil. But the problem with that, my friends, is there is a God. There is a God. And God does tell what is right and wrong. So as we look at our landscape today, as we look at the things coming down to us, as we look at the idolatry and the sin out there today, we need to recognize that while we combat against them, that there is something even larger right here that we need to wage war against. Remind you, it's not necessarily a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle that we're in. We looked at Monday night the stronghold of Satanism and taking down the stronghold of Satanism. We need to take down this premise of there is no God. Something that has been hoisted upon the past generations for the last decades, even the last century, to say that there is no God, to try to put mankind as the God of his life, as the one who would control his life. So this is what we are up against. So what do we need? We need to have a vision that requires an ability to see beyond the present darkness and take hold of the glories that can be. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. It may seem that the time is dark. It may seem that the world, that's a society, that the culture is dark. But remember the promises of God and go forth and to realize what God can do, what God wants to do through each one of our lives. How many people does it take for God to do something great? How many people? I see a one, Ella. One? One. That's all that it takes, my friends. All it takes is one person for God to do something great. Jehoiada made the decision. He and his wife to hide baby Joash. Jehoiada made the decision to bring about the captains throughout the land of Judah, to take away Athaliah from being queen. Jehoiada was one person. All it takes, my friends, is one person to be fully surrendered to God, and God can do something great with your life. You feel, but I'm a nobody, Daniel. It doesn't matter. God can take your life if you'll but just give it to him, and he will use it for his honor and for his glory. We can look through the pages of history and see how one life made a world of a difference. Now, a vision, as we consider this, a vision is a place, you could say, of destination. The goal is how to reach said place. But a vision is only possible when the eternal is beheld instead of the temporal. A vision upon God's word, my friends, is only going to be possible as we behold the eternal and not the temporal. So first off, we've got to get rid of this idea about life is just about me and doing what I want to do. No, that's not what life is about. Life is about what God wants of me to do. We can have a vision based on God's word. We can have a purpose given to us by God of what he wants to do, but it's going to come as we have our eyes upon the eternal, not the physical here. So, we need to have the vision of Jehoiada to break down the strongholds. Particularly in this case, I believe, we need this vision to raise down that stronghold of communism that seeks to purport itself upon our society, upon our culture, upon our country, with the basic premise that there is no God. But my friends, there is a God. And we know that there is a God. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought not to hide this, but you ought to be bold. You ought to talk about what he has done for you. What does this vision entail? Three simple truths. Number one, this vision is a vision that levels, if you will, that levels evil's foundations. We need to have a vision that levels evil's foundations. We'll put it in the other way. Jehoiada had a vision that leveled evil's foundations. He recognizes that his nation is in big trouble. They are in spiritual darkness. They had times under Jehoshaphat, under Asa, which Jehoiada had known very well. After all, around this time of hiding Joash, we said that he was around 100 years old. So he knew very well the times, what God had done, and the great thing God had done for Judah. And now this is a wicked time. And Jehoiada knows what he has to do in order to get the nation of Judah back to God. There's a chief culprit here in the land of Judah. While the idols of Baal are going to be wiped out, yes, there's one behind that. In this case, I believe, is Queen Athaliah. Queen Athaliah. Jehoiada knew Judah needed to come back to God, but the core opponent that foundationally stood in the way to that return was Queen Athaliah. Now remember of who she is. Queen Athaliah is the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Jezebel is the one that has brought in Baal worship. Ahab is noted as if it seemed it was a light thing of what Jeroboam had done with the golden calf in Bethel. Ahab basically took the nation of Israel down into greater wickedness. That was the north. Through the intermarriage between Jehoshaphat and Ahab, their children, Athaliah finds herself on the throne, not in the north. She's down in the southern kingdom of Judah, a kingdom that had good kings, a kingdom that had godly kings, and she was seeking to take them away from this. 7 years prior to the reality of this vision fulfilled wasn't born for Jehoiada. It says in verse 14, as the vision is fulfilled, if you will, he should have her forth of the ranges, and whoso followeth her, let him be slain with the sword, for the priest had slain her not in the house of the Lord. They are getting rid of Queen Athaliah and placing Joash on the throne, who is to be the rightful heir of King David. And you say, okay, Daniel, you've been talking about her trying to destroy the seed royal, or trying to get rid of the seed of David. What's really the big deal about getting rid of the seed of David? Who has the right to sit upon the throne of his father David in the millennial kingdom? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has his, through Mary, Joseph, there's a descendant. It, being from the seed of David, gives him the right to sit upon the throne of the kingdom. So if the seed royal is wiped out, guess what? God's promises are null and void. Guess what that also shows me, friends? There's somebody behind Athaliah herself. Any guesses on who that would be? Way out there. The devil. Because who would want nothing more than the Messiah not to be able to come to this earth and not be able to save mankind from their sins? And so there is this grave danger here that is involved. But 7 years prior, 6 years prior to Jehoiada seeing this fulfilled, it says that Athaliah was wiping out the seed royal. It says that Jehoiada and Jehoshaphat, his wife, hid Joash, a little baby, from being slain. It was a time of darkness. It was a time where only a vision based upon God's word could see this. It was a time that as only Jehoiada would look into the eternal, when things were all going mayhem around him, he could say, was God this impossible? If I look around right now to everyone that's around me, nothing's possible. If I tell anybody, baby Joash is here, it's off with my head, very likely, if Athaliah finds out. In the place of darkness was this vision born. And that gives us hope, my friends, because it doesn't matter how wicked the world is around us. In the place of darkness, that vision upon God's word can be born in our life, where God said, this is what I would have for you to do. This is what I would have for you to do. Jehoiada recognized in 2 Chronicles 7:13 that if God shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if God command the locusts to devour the land, or God sent pestilence among his people. Jehoiada knew the promise of the next verse, that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Jehoiada knew the devastation, but he recognized what could be the glimmer of hope, a royal baby versus a godless queen. In the great darkness of his country, he chose to be a light that would eventually bring the true light back to Judah. Friends, you make the decision each day on whether or not you're going to be a light for the Lord Jesus Christ in this darkness that we're in today. We need to be this light because the premise of no God needs to be disposed of. For that premise drives philosophies and violent actions. In Psalm 14:1, the Bible says, the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This is the premise that Athaliah is going forth on. This is a vision that levels evil's foundations. This is what we're up against. This is what we need to destroy, this premise that there is no God. Because, my friends, there is a God in this world today. He is the Lord. He is the creator God of heaven and of earth. But we live in a society, we live in a culture, which is very easy to go and talk to somebody that they're not sure if there's a God. They're not sure if there's a God. They're not sure if there's anything sort of right and wrong. And it's being propagated by a philosophy over the past decades and century in our country that would say to us, there is no God. And then a political ideology, that of communism and socialism, would bolster this idea that there is no God, that mankind makes the rules. That, my friend, is wrong. And that's what we need to come up against as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we recognize a promise or a reality of 2 Corinthians 3:17 that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where God is, there is liberty. Where God is allowed to be in the public sphere of a culture, of a society, that society will enjoy liberty. Where God is allowed to be involved in our hearts, to be involved in our lives through the saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, we experience on an individual basis liberty. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't have a relationship with God through the Messiah, my friends, you don't have liberty. You are bound in sin's chains. You are on hell's pathway. What do you need to free you from these chains but the transforming power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And where that is allowed to come into the hearts of people, they find true liberty. Where that is allowed to come as the overarching theme, even in a society and in a culture, there that country can have liberty. This is why over the past years, over the past decade, this is why as a nation, even a nation founded upon the Judeo-Christian faith, we have been able to enjoy liberties because we have been founded upon the principles of the Word of God. But you go to other countries, my friends, which have no resemblance of God, which do not allow God in, which have no belief in God, and do they have liberty? They do not have liberty. They do not have liberty like we have experienced. They are built upon the premise of no God. We want to take some time to consider what leveling them, the enemy's foundations, and reclaiming a foundation, a godly foundation, looks like. Say, okay, well, Dan, what do you propose then today to do to have a vision to break down the strongholds? Because there's so many people in our land that are bought into this idea of there is no God. They are bought into this idea, this ideology that comes from this premise of there is no God. And they want this ideology to be on display in our government, to be working even in our land, this ideology of communism, this ideology of socialism. What can take that down? Can good economic ideas take that down? Oh, sure, they can try to wage war on it. Might do his part for a little bit of time. But do you want to see a true change in a culture? Do you want to see a true change in a society? Do you want to see a true change in individuals' hearts? Do you know what they need? They don't need economics that are better. They don't need material living that is better. They need the Word of God to transform the heart. That's what makes things better. The Word of God that transforms the heart. And Jehoiada had a vision to level evil's foundations. For him, it was Athaliah. For us, as we consider the landscape today, as we would level evil's foundations, we have to go against this premise, there is no God, and say, no, there is a God. He loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for your sins, and he wants to have a relationship with each one of you. He wants to know you personally because God loves each individual personally. We've got a culture. You probably know friends that are wondering, is there anybody that loves me? You may have friends, you may know of relatives, you may know of classmates back at home that they wonder, is there even a God? My friends, there is a God. And as we have a vision rooted in God's word to take on the enemy of our day, we need to recognize that we need to level the foundations. And how we do that is through the word of God. Now, let's rubber hit the road, if you will. Are we allowing the word of God to change our lives? Because it's very easy to tell others, you need the Bible to change your life. And then when God's speaking to us, he's like, oh Lord, but I'm okay. I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know, I'm really not that bad of a person. What do you mean I have to give this up, Lord? I don't want to give this up. And God's saying, hey, look, you need to reach out to people with the Bible, but you need to allow the Bible to transform your heart. You know how we can be a successful Christian is by letting God's word transform our life such that the world sees a difference in us and wants to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's more of a, rather than saying, do as I say, not as I do, we live a lifestyle that's contrary to God, and then we offer them salvation. We allow the Word of God, rather, to change us, and we offer that salvation, full and free, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're leveling evil's foundations. It is the gospel unleashed and the Word of God at play in a society that will do this. You must see this in the works at the grassroots level, while also at the top level. Now, the communistic agenda, if you will, has detonated our Christian foundation. You say, well, how so? Because, again, it has ripped away the reality of God. It has perverted the gospel, if you will, into a social justice reform system. It has gotten into churches in larger Christendom, even if we could call them that. And rather than preaching forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that meets the spiritual needs, it turns it into something physical and says that we need to just meet all the material needs of everybody. We need to feed the hungry. We need to house the homeless. We need to house the poor. But we're not going to tell them about the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a problem, my friends. Because we're trying to meet all the outward needs, but all of those are a reflection of an inward need. It's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem in each one of our hearts. And you could say the ideology of communism has come into these churches in larger Christendom, if we could call it that, and turned them into a social justice, a physical reform system. And has even sought to silence churches, silence Christians in the role of the Bible and the role of the Bible in the public realm. But we ought to recognize, my friends, that the power of the gospel must connect with the issues of the culture. We ought to recognize that we ought to allow the gospel to transform our lives, that as we give our life to Jesus Christ, he can use us. John 12:24, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You've got ambitions of what you'd like to do in life, my friends. You've got great ideas. So this is what I would like to do. bring those ideas to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I lay down what I want, and Lord, I'm asking you, what do you want of me? Kill your selfish desires, if you will. Put to death your selfish desires and see the reality of this verse come true. Accept a corn of wheat falling to the ground and dying about it alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you get rid of your selfish ambitions, your life can bring forth much fruit. Your life can bring forth much fruit, my friend. A vision that levels evil's foundations. That's the type of vision that we need. A vision that will level evil's foundation. And that's primarily us giving ourselves to the Lord to go against the premise of the culture of our day, of society, that says there is no God. You can do whatever you want. We wonder why the morality is, or the lack of morality there is today. We wonder why the wickedness, why the evil that is going on today. It's because we've thrown God out of our society in decades past. And we're trying to raise and teach generations, generation here, my generation, generation before, to tell them that there really is no God, that you can be the master of your own fate. My friends, you will never have a vision for God. You will never be able to do great things for God if you think your way is going to do what's best. Give it to Jesus. Allow him to work through you. A vision that levels evil's foundation, but secondly, a vision that dismantles the world's allures. A vision that dismantles the world's allures. What are the world's allures here? Verse 16, Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down and break his altars and his images in pieces and slew Matthan the priest of Baal before the altars. There is, as they dismantle the world's allures, we recognize that there are idols in the land. So Queen Athaliah is bringing Judah into wickedness. We've already seen that. We've already seen that there are idols in the land. And these idols have coldened their heart to God, if you will. They have to go into the house of Baal and break it down. The house of Baal being next to the house of God. This was Athaliah's lure to divert Judah from God. There were two options laid out for the people, just like there is today. Just like there is today, Athaliah had the house of Baal, or they could go to the house of God. And the people were going towards the house of Baal. Jehoiada saw this as the outplaying of a wicked queen. Now again, we have the basis of a premise that there is no God in our society, in our culture today. But we also have entertainment in our culture that very easily seeks to suck up all our time, if you will. Video games. Hollywood, entertainment, sports, a lot of these things will seek to pull us into its allures, and when our life is all about that, guess what? We're missing out on that which is of utmost importance, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've succumbed to the world's allures so that we are not active about leveling evil's foundations because we're enjoying everything that goes along with it. We've coldened our heart to God. You could say we've numbed our mind to pleasure. We've drugged our mind to pleasure. They went and they had to break the altars. They had to break the altars and the images in pieces. The people were engrossed in the wickedness of frivolity offered to them that the power source, Athaliah, was not a chief worry. So it took vision from the man of God to step into the realm of government. The fall of the Roman Empire, even as we consider that great, once great empire, the Colosseum offered entertainment to the masses, offered entertainment to the people. It was rather pure wickedness, but it pacified the lust of the people whose lives were built upon the core tenet of the non-existence of God. And again, Hollywood entertainment has done the exact same thing to our populace. Satisfy our desires and we can do what we want to. We can follow our wicked passions and then they can do whatever they want to on the top layers of government because we're satisfied with the world's allures. When we're satisfied with the world's allures, we're not going to take time to recognize the grave danger that needs to be leveled, that needs to be raised, R-A-Z-E, that needs to be torn down, that needs to be destroyed. We have succumbed to the world's allures. What does Paul say in Romans 12:2? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Their hearts were cold unto God. They had been. Their minds had been drugged to pleasure. Their ears had been pulled to falsehoods. Matin, the priest of Baal, was probably an instrumental figure in bringing them along in this false idol worship. And Jehoiada has him slain. You say, what is going on here? They're actually following what God has said to do. From Deuteronomy chapter 13, 6 and 9, he says, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, which would Baal, nigh unto thee, or afar off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent to them, nor hearken unto them, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. In this place, the vision cut through with precision. In this idea, those who would lead people away from the Lord, here, Matan the high priest, God said in Deuteronomy, do away with them. The Jehoiada is following suit with what God would have for them to do. Jehoiada saw through the house. He saw through the house of Baal. He saw through its altars. He saw through its false priests. Because he had a vision that could see through the stronghold's philosophies. That these sensual enjoyments were not to be imbibed and given an audience, but eradicated. Problem is today, my friends, we as Christians have entangled ourselves in the very things that have blinded the lost people's eyes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. What they have been finding their enjoyment in outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, where they're trying to seek for satisfaction, they can find none because they built their life upon a promise of there is no God, they're searching, they don't know where to go. We as believers, rather than giving them hope, say, oh, I really like what you're doing. Oh, can I have that new thing? Oh, let's go after this entertainment. Let's go after this new gadget that's out. A worldly thing that's out. Let's go to this place where we ought not to be going. But it's so fun. It's so cool. And we've entangled ourselves in this very thing that the lost is blinded to with their eyes. And that's a problem, because we can't effectively then wage war on the strongholds, if you will. That stronghold, if you will, even of communism. We need to have a vision that levels the foundation, a vision that dismantles the world's allures, and a vision that quiets the land's violence. Look at verse 21, and all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after that they had slain Athaliah with the sword. A vision that quiets the land's violence. Athaliah had been on a blood pass. Jehoram, even her husband, if you look back in chapter 21, which we won't take the time, he was also on a blood pass. And as the nation of Judah found itself in this 15 years of spiritual darkness and wickedness, there was violence and there was bloodshed. You see, well, why was the land not at rest? Because of exactly this. Every concept of God had been annihilated. Every concept of God in political and public and in the private sector. And the reality of it is, my friends, when there is no God, there will be no rest. Communism, my friends, socialism is built upon the premise of no God, thereby fostering a society without a moral compass, culminating to an endless spiral of violence. And this is such because there can be no satisfaction as man is looking everywhere but the word of God. Why is there so much violence today? Because we've lost our moral compass. Because we've lost our spiritual compass in our society. We've been built upon the premise of what? There is no God. There is no God. And as a result of that, when there is no God, there is no peace. And we see turmoil. We see violence. We see theft. We see immorality rising up upon the scene, even in society, even in a culture today. So how do you effectively neutralize the violence in the land? This is what Jehoiada had to do. For Athaliah, he had to reinstate the Davidic line. He had to get the nation of Judah back into a covenant relationship with God. He recognized that. He had to bring them back to God. What began with hiding a baby boy for 6 years materialized into bringing the nation of Judah back to God after a successful coup against Queen Athaliah. How do we get our land? How do we get our land quiet from violence? How do we get rid of the violence out of our land? By getting back to God's word and the document founded upon God's word, our Constitution. I mentioned last night, John Adams once said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So why is there so much left-wing violence today? Because they are void of the foundation of God's word. They can know no peace because they are void of God's word. That is why, my friends, they are not following after God, they're following their selfish pursuits. They're built upon the premise that there is no God, and they want what you have. They want what they cannot have. This is the basic heartthrob, really, of communism, is having something that doesn't belong to you, and that will incite the violence. That will incite the wickedness in the land today. A former president said, this once, Ronald Reagan, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. And my friends, may I propose that in an individual way. If we do not live our lives as an individual under God's control, then we as well in our Christian life will be an individual that will go under. It's great, and we ought to, and we ought to strive for, and we ought to fight for. We ought to go for having God as the God of our nation, reinstating him as the God of our nation. But he first and foremost needs to be the God in each one of our own hearts. He first and foremost needs to be the Lord in each one of our own lives. That when the darkness is great around us, we don't say, all right, I'm just giving it up. I'm just going to go with my friends. I'm just going to imbibe in the sinfulness and the wickedness that's going on here. We wouldn't call it those words, but we're just being blunt with what it is. But rather we say, no, Lord, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to choose to be a light in the darkness today. You choose to be a light, my friend, and you have the opportunity to shine bright for the Lord Jesus Christ in this darkness where people are longing and looking for answers. But the problem is when this lost world looks at the Christians, they don't see any difference. Because their friends or their relatives or so-and-so, they're living the same way that they're living. They need to see a difference, my friends. They need to see a difference. And if we're going to quiet the land of the physical violence even that's going on in our land today, we need to bring them to the Word of God. Now, the leftists will say, well, because of all the violence today, we need gun control. We need this, or it's a mental health crisis, or it's this or that. My friends, that's not the problem. The problem is a spiritual problem. The problem is there are lost people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the problem also is that there are Christians that aren't doing anything about reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our country is in a spiritual crisis. And only the gospel can change that life. So if you're tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, my friend, you need to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to change your life. Nothing else in this world can. If you're here tonight and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, my friend, you need to allow the Lord to use you and say, Lord, use me for your honor and for glory. Help me to be faithful what you'd have for me now. And God can use us in greater ways than that we could ever imagine, my friends. A proper vision will rectify the visible social ill of violence with a spiritual solution. it will rectify that. When you know God, you will know peace. But when there is no God, there will be no peace. We understand what we need to give the world today. And an understanding of that will start from having a proper vision founded in the Word of God. Jehoiada's day, there was Queen Athaliah reigning over the land with terror. He took Queen Athaliah out and brought the nation of Judah back to God. In our land, even today, there's an ideology that's getting pushed over us, that coming up with the masses, this ideology, this political ideology of socialism, of communism, that is built upon the premise that there is no God. The only way we're going to effectively wage war against that, my friends, it's a spiritual battle, mind you, it's through the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's through the Word of God, but we need to allow it to transform our lives. We need to have a vision that will level evil's foundations, that will dismantle the world's allures, and that will quiet a land of violence. A lot there. A vision that will level evil's foundations, dismantle the world's allures, and quiet a land of violence. You can't quiet a land of violence, my friends, unless you level the foundations. And that's what God has called for each one of us to do. So the question I end with you this evening is this. The question we've given the last couple nights, and that is this. Where is the vision of Jehoiada in this generation? Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd work in each one of these young people's hearts and lives today. Lord, we recognize that that which can change our society and our culture and the lives of those here and those around us that we meet in this world only comes through a vision founded upon your word, Lord, and that's through the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there are any that are here today that do not know you as their Savior, Lord, may you work in their hearts, may you work in their lives, and show them their need for a Savior, Lord. Show them that they're bound by this premise that there is no God, Lord. Show them that they're bound by this all these allures in our world today, Lord. And show them, Lord, that they're bound even inside of this reality of violence, this reality of no satisfaction, no fulfillment, because they're looking everywhere but the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, would you help the believer in Jesus Christ, the Christian that's here today, that wants to live for themselves, Lord. But Lord, if we have our own dreams, if we have our own aspirations, Lord, those aren't going to get us anywhere. Lord, would you raise up a generation of young people here that would say, enough with what I want, I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, use me for your honor and for your glory. I'm just one person, Lord, but I know that you can use one person like you did with Jehoiada to level against the evil of my land today. Perhaps it starts with where we are today, with what seems darkness, to make the decision that I'm going to be the light to those around me. I'm going to be the light to my friends and to my relatives. Lord, would you help us? In Jesus' name, amen. Your heads are bowed.